I was sure more than a minute had gone by, but I could easily have lost track of all time. I opened my eyes. His were the lightest shade of gray I'd seen yet. "You can kiss me, Jude." I expected just about anything else than his forehead lining as his eyes darkened.
"I know I can,"
he said, his voice tight.
"I'm just not sure if I should."
The ache that originated at the very core of me began to spread. There was only one way to alleviate it. "You should kiss me, Jude." His eyes went another shade darker, but they never left mine.
"I shouldn't," he said,
sliding a hand behind my neck, skimming a finger beneath the collar of my tank top.
"But right now, I don't give a damn."
For the fine and fabulous girls of the FP, not a day passes where I don't find myself thankful to have each and every one of you. You inspire me to become a better writer as well as a better person. You encourage me, let me vent, and aren't afraid to tell me to suck it up. Write until there's nothing left to be said. Then write some more. Love and glitter cannons to you all. 1. Summers turn me into a sucker. That's why I was glad this one was almost over. Every year since puberty, from mid-June to early September, I'd been sure I was going to meet the real-world equivalent to Prince Charming. Call me old-fashioned, call me hopelessly romantic, you could even call me a fool, but whatever I was, I knew the end result. I was a sucker. To date, I'd never found a guy who was worthy to stand in Prince C's shadow. No real surprise there, as I'd discovered more and more that guys were something of a pain in the ass. But here, working on my tan at Sapphire Lake's public beach, just a couple of weeks before I was all set to start my senior year at a new school, I'd just found me a prince hot damn. He arrived with a whole mess of guys, tossing a football back and forth, and specimens like this confirmed there had been some kind of divine rule in the universe, because no natural selection process was up to the task of creating something like him. This was some god's handiwork somewhere. He was tall, his shoulders were wide, and he had those dark-ringed eyes with black lashes that had the power to undo a girl's best intentions. So, in non-sucker terms, he was just my type, along with every other woman in the Northern Hemisphere. My blue raspberry Slurpee couldn't even compete for my attention. I didn't know his name, didn't know if he had a girlfriend, didn't know if he wanted one, but I knew I was in trouble. However, it was when his dodging and tackling and sprinting ceased when he glanced my way that I knew I was in big trouble. The glance was immeasurably longer than every other glance shared with a stranger, but what was conveyed in that shortest of connections cut through me, letting some piece of this stranger work his way inside. I'd experienced this before a few times in my life. Nothing but an eye connection with a passing stranger begging me to take notice and follow. To date, I never had, but the last time I'd let one of these moments pass was at a restaurant my family went to. This boy dropped a pizza on the table, told us to enjoy, then, right as he was leaving, he winked at me. My heart went boom, boom, my head got all foggy, and I felt this ache inside when he turned and walked away, like we were tied together by a fixed rope. I'd let exactly 4 of these soul typhoons pass unexplored, but I'd made a pact of the utmost sacredness with myself that I wouldn't let a 5th go by in the same kind of way. I was never sure if the person on the other end of that look felt the same kind of intensity I did, so when Prince Hot Damn spun away, tackling someone into the sand, I knew I ran the risk of him thinking I was one of those girls who made an art form of preying on beautiful boys minding their own business. I didn't care. I wouldn't let another one of these moments go. Life was short, and I'd been a firm believer in seizing the moment for the majority of my life. Then he came to another standstill, like my stare was freezing him in place. This time it wasn't a glance. It was a good 5-second stare, where his eyes did that dumbfounded thing mine were doing to me. His smile had just begun its upward journey into position when a football whizzed right into the side of his face. It was one of those moments you saw played out in movies. Wide-eyed boy staring at girl, oblivious to the world around him until the laces of a football indented his forehead.
"Stop staring, Jude,"
the young boy who had thrown the ball called out.
"She's too hot even for you. And since she's got a book, she probably knows how to read, so she's smart enough to know to avoid guys like you."
I slid my glasses into place as Serendipity Boy chased after the pint-sized teaser and turned my attention to the book sprawled out beneath me.